Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Film Podcast. I am Jenna Hobbs and this week I am joined by Harry Chapman. Hi Harry.
Hello, how are we doing?
Good, thank you. Thanks for coming and joining us today.
No worries, thanks for having me.
This week we are talking about After Love, which is a new film by director. Now I'm going to try my best. I think it's Joachim LaFosse, but I could be very wrong with that pronunciation.
Right.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, I did my best with my best French.
Yeah.
It's a film about a couple who are living together post or kind of between the breaking up of a marriage and the divorce and how that kind of goes along within their family dynamics.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting what it's... Do you want to know what it's called in French?
Oh, yeah, tell
me.
I
did some research.
Are you going to pronounce it in your best French accent for me?
Yeah, my girlfriend's going to die because she studied French. So it's called La Economie du Couple.
La Economie du Couple.
See, beautiful,
beautiful,
beautiful. Which sort of means sort of the economy of a couple, which kind of is there,
yeah,
is there throughout the film.
Most definitely. This film is all about the economics, really.
Yeah.
You know, and also about class. So we've got our wife, who's played by Bernice Bigeau. She's called Marie. And then we have Boris, played by Cedric Khan.
Yep.
And they've got this high status, low status kind of dynamic going on within their personal economies.
Yes. Yeah.
So she has bought the house that they're living in. And he has renovated it and done it up.
Yeah, when they were married.
When they were married, yeah. And they've been together for 15 years.
Yes.
And now, as they're trying to settle their divorce, they're trying to work out who
gets
owns
what.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think about that?
I thought it was... It's a difficult one because it's kind of separating emotion and sort of what you feel within a relationship from... You know, the economy of it, the finances of the whole thing.
Of what's fair,
yeah,
what's
of what's
not.
Fair and what's fair not, and what you put into something. You know, he put craft and work and an effort into renovating the house, while she put cold hard cash.
Yeah,
but which is worth more
in the long run?
In the long run,
yeah. And the whole film kind of discusses this, and at times you feel for her, at times you feel for him.
Yes.
And they play this divorced couple very well.
Mm.
So I've got a question for you, Harry.
Okay.
If you could see any actors playing a divorce on screen, which actors would you see?
Okay, I'm going to go for it. They've already been divorced on screen.
Yep.
But let me explain. So
okay.
I'm going to go for Alec Baldwin and Meryl Streep. Now, they've already done it in It's Complicated.
Yes. Yeah, that's a good film, actually.
But I want them to go for the Oscar...
Okay.
Of divorces, okay? The big bucks. The big bucks, the big divorce picture.
Yep.
I'm thinking some sort of period drama.
Ooh, okay, when are you setting it? Austin time? Or?
Yeah, Austin time.
Yeah.
We'll go then. Alec Baldwin goes off some sort of war or some sort of battle, loses a leg.
Okay. Yeah.
So he's going to have to learn to act with that leg. Instantly an Oscar tick there. Yeah?
Yeah.
Meryl Streep's been working really hard. You know, looking after the family, basically becoming part of the community. He comes back, And then the whole film is about, should they get divorced? Shouldn't they get divorced?
And also, as we know, during Austen period, divorce is very rare, Harry.
Exactly.
It's a big topic
thing. It's a big topic. We'll find some real story that it's based on.
Yeah. We'll take it through the archives. Yeah. I can see it.
Steve McQueen can direct it or something. We're going to win the Oscar for that.
I'm saying it. 2020, yeah. Maybe we'll pitch it for? Yeah. Done.
Yeah, sorted. Rolling the big bucks.
Well, I'm personally going to go for another couple we've already seen on screen.
Okay.
Billy Crystal, Meg Ryan, When Harry Divorced Sally.
You've literally broken many people's hearts just then. You want to spoil the perfect film?
I love that film. It's amazing. I just want any chance to see those two actors on film together again. Yeah, yeah. And I also think they are two of the most cranky people of all time. You know, Sally's ordering all her stuff. Yeah. I feel like that's only going to get more annoying as she gets older.
Yeah, that's true.
Billy Crystal with his like jokes, his constant little jokey jibes. And yeah. I feel the things that brought them together may tear them apart towards the end of their marriage.
Okay.
And maybe we could do it in 10 years' time. Maybe they're like in their 70s.
You think they'd last that long?
What, Harry and Sally?
Yeah.
It's an eternal love, Harry. Of course they've lasted long. I think it would be fun.
Okay.
And also, they will have to stay together at the end.
Okay.
But maybe in separate houses.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see them divorcing, but
living next door
living
to each
next
other.
Door to
they realise
for...
they just still are best friends after all this time.
I'd watch that film.
Great.
I'd watch that film. Sorted.
Done. It's made.
The budget signed off. The script has been sent.
Yeah, everyone's coming in from this
part.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right, so back to After Love.
Okay.
And a much more serious topic.
Yeah.
So we're looking at, it's a very sad film, really, looking at these two people who have once put so much into their love and now have to kind of strip it back, and it's very cold.
Yeah.
And what did you think? Who did you sympathise with?
I think I sympathise most with the husband to begin with, certainly, because he is sort of told when and when he can't see. So they've got two young daughters that are twins.
Yes.
I don't know if we've mentioned that.
No, we haven't. Okay. They're called Margot and Jade, and those are their real names.
Very
as
well remembered.
Oh, thanks.
See? And so he's sort of told when he can and can't see them, and she's clearly got the sort of power within that relationship.
Yeah, she's very in charge of the children.
And he sort of turns up and sort of sleeps in this sort of office space sometimes, and it's...
It's difficult, isn't it? Because she comes across with the children. She's very dictatorial in the opening few scenes with them. You know, she's like, do your homework, go to bed. And the little girl is kind of like, can I help you in the kitchen? Yeah. She's very no and very strict. Yeah. Then he turns up and he's obviously the fun dad. And he's doing this and that and, you know, playing games and reading them stories and kind of throwing off her routine. He's not supposed to be there.
Yes, yeah, that's made
and
very
so,
clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she couldn't have been more cold and frosty towards him. It's very clear from that opening scene that the love is gone from her eyes. And, I mean, I did feel sorry for him. I felt sorry for the girls because, obviously, you know, you just want to have a nice, happy family time.
Yes.
But also, I think you get the sense that this isn't the first time he's done this. This isn't the first time he's come home when he's not supposed to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it must be very wearing for her to constantly be playing the bad cop against him, I think.
Yeah, that's what the whole film is, sort of these small moments that don't seem like much.
All
but clearly they repeat and add up into this horrible sort of mess.
And it's very claustrophobic because it's all shot. It's a chamber piece. It's all within the same kind of few walls of the ground floor apartment. Very trendy ground floor apartment.
Oh, yeah. I had some jealousy about that apartment.
I'd love to live there. Oh. He's single now, isn't he, Cedric? I could get him to come and renovate my place.
Exactly. Sort that out.
So it's all shot in the same place. And it kind of begs the question of, could this be a play?
Yes, yeah, because I thought exactly the same, and we sort of had thought about that. And it's, I think it could, but I think what a play lacks is that sort of zooming in on the faces. And obviously you can do that with lighting and things like that, but you can't get that moment where someone says something and you see the pain or the frustration and the sort of perfect scene for that for me is there's a scene where she has friends over and he sort of bundles his way into this sort of meal, drink.
It's really horrible to watch this scene. It's so awkward because that is actually probably the moment when my sympathies switched to her.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I was kind of with him up until then. Yeah. He just can't get the picture that he's... Well, he knows he's not welcome. He just doesn't care that he's not welcome, does he?
Yeah, and that scene where you see him trying to dictate the friends and try and work them into a sort of frenzy.
Yeah.
And then you see her frustration and just annoyance that she just wants one night off where she's seeing friends and having a glass of wine and she's made this cake and that's sort of made into this big thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think that would work necessarily as a play because you wouldn't see both their reactions, him kind of
up
working
close. Yeah, I mean, there's obviously pluses and minuses to both the forms, the liveness, the immediacy of a play.
Yes.
But also, yes, that's what's great about film is you do get these close-ups and you do get someone that can really dictate how you view the situation and the piece. Yeah. What I also really liked about that scene was that they basically said the same things over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, you're not welcome here. I am welcome here. You're not welcome here. I want the cake. You can't have the cake. I want the cake. You know, it basically went over and over again.
Yeah, and even the friends repeated themselves. They're like, we're going to leave. Okay, we're going to stay. Or we're going to leave. We're going to stay.
Up,
and you're
down,
just, and you're just like, does someone do something?
Someone needs to make this stop.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that that is their whole life.
Yes.
Over and over. Most definitely.
Yeah, it goes on and on and on.
Yes. So basically, all of the kind of tensions and struggles aren't really over anything more than the economics of their situation.
Yeah.
So we've got Marie, who's offering a kind of severance package to Cedric that he just...
Yeah.
Well, not Cedric. To Boris, that he just won't accept.
Yeah.
She's saying that he deserves a third of the property of the price of the house.
Yeah, and he wants a half.
He wants half because he feels like they've put into this marriage together and he's done it all up and he's added this much of value and he deserves this and that. And you can also see that he's kind of got money troubles throughout the film.
Yeah, like at one very early on, there's sort of these guys who we never see again.
Yeah.
And he sort of gives them some money and they sort of, there's nearly a fight and there's
this
tension.
In the garden.
And she sort of says, I don't like those guys turning up. And he is referred to a bit later on, but there's not really, that's sort of all we get with him.
And you don't really know why he's in money problems.
And
apart from he kind of says he's an out of work. Is it an architect or a
which she
renovator?
Laughs at. She laughs at.
He says, architect
to her mum, and then she laughs quite loudly.
And so you kind of get the idea that maybe he's not. I don't know if maybe some of that might be lost a little in the translation.
Oh, maybe.
Because we haven't said that this is a film that's in French.
Oh, yeah, we probably should say that.
Probably should have mentioned that.
Yeah.
It's in French, but I mean, it doesn't matter because it's a very universal kind of situation. I think a lot of people now, with the economy as it is, are having to live together as broken up couples. But I think sometimes that foreign language films can put people off. And, you know, it's not, you have to, you know, pay attention, read it, but it is really worth it with this film.
No, it definitely is. Definitely is.
So I don't know if a little bit of that may have been lost in the translation of what his actual job is.
Yes, yeah.
But he is out of work.
Yeah.
And I think this is a case where she was quite unreasonable towards him. Do you not think that the mother wants Boris to come and do some work on the kind of family property?
Yes, yeah. So there's this big sort of family property that's sort of talked about and she could have inherited it, is that right?
Well,
I think she was offered it.
She has inherited it, I think.
Okay, she has.
But it's not sold. They need to sell it,
I
think.
Yeah, and it's like this 12-bedroom house.
Yeah.
And that's sort of where the conflict comes from because she could sell it and move on.
Yeah.
And throughout, he's like, you could sell this. Why do you need half of our property?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's not the point. The point is that I've put all the money into this property and that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it does, when it comes to it, you know, it comes down to these petty things when you're divorcing. And
I
think people, you know, they go into a marriage thinking, of course, what's mine is yours and half and half.
Yeah,
and then it comes down to the crux of it.
Yeah, well, there's that scene with the contract where they talk about, look, he talks about her mother giving them €50,000, I think it is.
€100,000
€100,000. And he says, that was a gift to the two of us for our daughters. And she says, if you look at the contract, it just says my name. Yeah. And there's that very much like, things are assumed and you're in love and it's fine.
And it's okay.
And then
and
it gets
never,
to the contract.
Yeah.
It's like,
and what's
oh,
down
no.
in black
yeah,
and white.
That's
is,
all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big moral kind of dilemma between the two of
very
them.
Very much so. Very much so.
And you can tell that it's very difficult to be in such close proximity to one another
yes.
the whole time. And
yeah.
that's what's so great about being shot all in one location.
Yeah, because the apartment's not big, is it?
It's not big
it's
at all. It doesn't
like,
even have another bedroom
no,
really for him to be in.
No, it's sort of got four, five rooms.
Yeah, and then you see him like asleep in her bed by yeah. accident, and then she has to go and use the sofa.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is all very, very close. And within this proximity are these two twin girls
mm.
who are great little actresses.
Oh, fantastic.
Really
fantastic.
Great. Such sparky personalities and dynamic.
Yeah,
and
they really give the whole thing an energy boost that it might feel like really bleak and depressing throughout because
yeah.
it's just an arguing couple, but actually they give it a real energy because at times you forget that they're potentially a divorcing couple when the girls are involved because
yeah.
there's so much love for the girls that it sort of brings them closer but not quite close enough.
Yeah, definitely. And there's a few scenes we can touch on in the spoiler
yeah.
section about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, they bring such a great energy and a great dynamic. And also, it's great to put them in this claustrophobic space as mm. well, this bundle of energy, because it could be very like stark, I
yes.
suppose, within there. And yes, with their constant energy, you kind of think, oh, you know, the impact of this coldness.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming across onto them, and you kind of see it in their faces and in their kind of acting out behaviour
yeah.
that they have.
Yeah.
Makes you really question the price of divorce on
yeah.
children.
And I think the director really cleverly uses them to kind of gauge what the audience might be feeling in an
yeah.
opposite way. So very much early on, they sort of love the dad and they're all for the dad. And then sort of halfway through the film, maybe an hour in, not over halfway, they sort of, the mum is like, oh, I'm going to go stay somewhere else for a short while.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly they're like, no, don't leave.
In
and
the
they're
way
really
the
upset.
Kids do.
And then the dad's like, what's happened? They used to completely.
Yeah,
like,
he's go, not done
yeah,
anything.
Exactly.
And then, yeah, definitely. And that's what kids do, don't
yeah.
they? You know, they act out against one parent.
Yeah.
And actually, I think these kids really play the two of them off against
oh, very
each
much
other.
So. Very
with
much
like,
so.
We only want dad, we only
yeah.
want mum. But
yeah.
it is obviously a difficult situation for them to be in because the fact that their parents are divorcing can't be hidden from
yeah.
them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like, I suppose you get the story of like, oh, well, our mum and dad came to us and said, oh, we still love each other very much, but dad's moving out or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, we still love each other. Also, we're still living together. That's all.
Yeah. They, I mean, it's very obvious that the love's gone.
Yeah.
And do you think that the love's gone for Boris as well?
I think the reason he holds on to this sort of wanting to get exactly half and still living there and says he can't get a job and can't get an apartment is because it's not gone. I think somewhere, whether consciously or unconsciously,
mm-hmm.
he wants to still have his family
still
and that's
be
why
together.
He doesn't move out.
Yeah.
I think if he had owned the apartment and she had left less,
mm-hmm.
she would move out quicker. She would have moved out. But because it's her apartment, sort of 60% on
it's
her...
It's like a battleground
yeah,
for them.
Yeah, and I think he sort of is holding on to this hope that they might get together and he's sort of, you know, even at the beginning, is a lot more affectionate
towards her. Yeah.
And she's just cold and is just like, no, leave me alone throughout.
Yeah, and I wonder how cold she is or how much she's really just had to put this cold front on because she doesn't really have any other option within this dynamic.
Yeah, I think she's certainly thinking about the girls a lot more when it comes to their dynamic.
But maybe she's not outwardly showing that she cares about the girls so much.
Exactly.
It is certainly interesting and it certainly makes for a lot of tension. We should probably move on to the spoilery section.
Yes.
Although there's not a huge amount to spoil. I mean, it is what it is and what we've discussed, but there are a few plot points at the end that we don't want to reveal. Before we move on to that, Harry, is there anything you've got left?
Yeah, so there's one bit, and I wanted to bring this up to you, Jenna.
Yes.
There's a sort of joke section where they're all sat chatting.
Yeah.
And there's quite a cruel blonde joke that's made. How do you feel about that?
Well, I am a blonde.
Yes. Yeah.
There's, people can't see me, as Rory told them. Remind me of the joke. Did you write it down?
No, I didn't write it down. But it's that two blondes are waiting at an elevator.
Oh, yeah.
And one blonde says to the other, call the elevator. And she shouts, elevator. Which is a great joke. It's a wonderful
funny.
Joke.
I mean, blondes do get a hard time.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I've also heard that blondes have more fun, so you take what you
true.
Get.
That's true. And gentlemen prefer blondes.
Yeah.
Famously.
I feel like the blonde backlash is just because people are jealous.
Yeah, okay.
So, moving on to the spoilers.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen the film, go watch it. It's on Curzon Home Cinema and it's out in cinemas today.
Yes.
And then come back and listen to our spoiler section.
Yes.
So, I suppose the big plot twist, or not plot twist, but big development, is that I believe it's Jade.
Yes.
When Boris is looking after the two girls, takes some pills.
Yeah, from the sort of bedside cabinet.
Yeah. They belong to Marie, we think.
Yeah, well, there's a scene very early on, and it's nearly right at the beginning, where Marie tells Jade off for going into her drawers.
Right.
And she's clearly got some tablets out, and then it's not mentioned again until this scene where she takes some pills and suddenly it's found
and it's not clear. I don't think that Boris wasn't looking after her properly.
No.
These girls are 8. They're often left to their own devices within the house. But she's just decided to do this now.
I think there's sort of a split blame in terms of they sort of let the girls do... He lets the girls sort of do what they like.
Yeah.
And he tries to be a lot more relaxed. But also, you know, that scene very early on does show that she leaves tablets in an unlocked drawer, which is sort of at the level where the girls could get it.
Quite easily.
I think the director or the writer is very much trying to show that they're both to blame for this.
Exactly.
While it might seem that Boris is the one to blame because he's on watch, as it were.
And do you think this is a necessary plot point, that Jade takes these tablets?
I think there needs to be something dramatically that happens to split the tension, because if not, it just feels like they're going to constantly...
It's stuck in a cycle.
It's going to be stuck in a cycle, and it feels like this cycle has been going on much longer than we've seen it for.
Uh-huh.
So at what point, how do you break that cycle? Because obviously they're trapped in the house. That's what the film's done. It's trapped them all in this house for however long, and it needs something to break that cycle. And I think the girls is quite a... Or one of the girls is quite a nice plot point to break that, so they can finally sort of have it all out, put it out there, and then resolve things.
I agree. I agree that something needs to happen. And I can see kind of the merit in both of these things, like in kind of doing it and not doing it. I feel like it is very dramatic in a film that's been quite understated and quite realistic. You know, she's not a stupid girl, and why would she take the tablets?
Okay, yeah.
I kind of can't see. It's kind of feel like maybe it's just a bit devicey.
Okay.
But then also, maybe if I'm thinking about it, the children are put under a lot of strain, and is she acting out against that situation?
Yeah, I don't think they take it too far. Like, we see her, you know, later on, and she's fine. In terms of, so it's not like she's in hospital for a long time, or seemingly it doesn't imply that.
Yeah, she
so
seems to come
therefore,
home
therefore
quite quickly.
It sort of feels like everything's sorted within an evening or within sort of a day and a bit. So therefore, I don't feel like they take it too far it's not like she's in hospital for months and it sort of is a real kick in the teeth. It's sort of this sudden shock of emotion.
And that something has to change off the back of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with you. And also this kickstarts the first leaving of the house that we've had.
Yes, yeah. Throughout the whole thing, we are just in this house.
And then all of a sudden we're at a hospital.
Yeah.
And there's some really nice, like, filming done during that
point. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's really lovely. We stick kind of at the end of a corridor while the two of them have this big fight down at the end.
You just have the other sister, lying on this bench, not moving, presumably asleep.
Yeah.
And then you just hear this massive argument from down the other end of the corridor. And it's interesting because throughout the whole film, you feel like this fly on the wall sort of following them around and sort of seeing all their personal, intimate moments. And this is a moment we only hear. We don't see it.
Yeah, for the first time.
And actually, it feels like at some point they've said there's a limit to what you can see. And maybe because it's so dramatic and potentially traumatic, actually, you can only hear it. You don't get the full inside of what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, I mean, I really liked them leaving, and I really loved the way it was done, but I think there's also a case to be made for keeping it in the house.
Okay, yeah.
Just because everything's been in that home, it's been so encompassing of what's going on. And there's also been a lot of times where, like, a significant of time has changed and they've stayed in the house. Like, you see Dad and the girls walk out of the door and close it, and then Mum open the door straight away, and then it's obvious that time's changed, that it looks different, which I quite enjoyed.
Yes.
And I would quite have enjoyed to see the dynamic shift within the home.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I don't know whether it's implied that he doesn't necessarily come back to the house again.
Maybe, yeah.
And that might be why, because they have such a big argument in the hospital.
Yeah.
Whether he'd be allowed back in the house after that happened. Because then the next thing we have is sort of someone reading out dates and the divorce settlement, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and we can see that whatever's happened post this traumatic incident with Jade, they have now reached a kind of a conclusion to the chapter.
Yes.
And they have agreed on some nice terms compromised terms for their divorce.
Although I think in terms of if it had been constantly in the house, actually would have made the last scene, or the last couple of scenes where they're sort of sat at a cafe when there's clearly a lawyer reading out the divorce terms over the top of them sat in a cafe, and actually that shock compared to the house of them being outside and sort of being civil to each other could have worked.
I mean, I think it could have been done in loads of ways, so that could have happened with the two of them just sat at their table at home and the lawyer reading it out at the end.
That's true.
There's definitely lots of potential, but I do think it works, them leaving and the change of pace.
Yes.
And so this nice settlement has been made. He's got what he's asked for, but minus some cash that's already been given to him.
Yes.
Because this is another moment you see Marie kind of being quite compassionate towards Boris, because she can be so cold, but he comes back and he's clearly been beaten up by these guys that he owes money a little bit earlier on, and he's honest with her with how much he owes, and the next thing you know she comes back with the cash and gives it to him straight away. So she does still care underneath it all.
I think the whole thing is very real in that, from that regard, because you don't just switch things off.
No, you can't.
And, you know, the opposite, you know, I wrote this down and it's a bit of a cliche, but the opposite of, you know, love is not hate. Mm-hmm. The opposite of love is sort of ambivalence.
Yeah, indifference.
It's nothing. It's indifference. So, therefore, while you may absolutely hate someone, there's still an emotion there that you feel for them. And I think that's sort of why she does that.
Yeah, he's still the father of her two children.
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, she can't, as much as he might say that she's trying to cast him out and not give him enough money to live and all this kind of stuff, that's not actually what she wants to do. She just wants what's right and what's fair, and she's angry that he's still there. He's still clinging on to something.
Very much so.
And you also see her kind of cold facade crack in a really lovely scene where they're all dancing together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's. I think that's probably my favourite scene in the
film. Yeah, I agree with you. I feel like up until then she's so hard towards him that you kind of don't sympathise with her that much. Or you do, but they're both quite unlikable. But this feels so real.
Mm.
And so the little girls, they get up and they're doing their dance.
They're doing a routine. Then the dad gets up and dances.
Yeah.
And then he invites her, is that right?
Yeah.
He invites her to dance, and then they suddenly they dance in pairs, so the two girls together and the sort of the mum and dad together.
And it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And she plays this so well. It's so beautiful watching her face kind of crack and cry as it's happening, because you can see that, you know, the way she's living isn't the way she wants to be living. She wants to be happy, but she's never going to be happy with him. And it's that kind of realization and almost like kind of feeling like she could maybe just make it okay again and just get back together with him in that split second.
In that moment.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And then you see them put them to bed.
Yeah, they suddenly put them to bed incredibly quickly.
And they're very accommodating, these girls.
Yeah,
they're usually really mouthy.
The girls are really good. They're like, oh, we're going to bed. Okay, we're going to bed. They put them to bed and then shut the door and then...
And then they're off.
And then they're off.
Yeah, and, you know, we see them have this kind of intimate moment.
Yeah.
And did you think at that point they might get back together?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think there was too much tension, too much annoyance and hatred
that had gone on before.
I thought it might affect the girls a bit more and they sort of might go down that channel.
With mum and dad are getting back together.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, mum and dad aren't getting back together.
And I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
And I think they did that really well.
Yeah, because pretty much as soon as you see them start kissing, you then see her asleep on the sofa.
Yeah.
And so she's obviously realised that she's made a mistake
and
has, like, removed herself from the situation very quickly.
Yeah.
And then, actually, you don't see, like, a big confrontation between the two of them.
No, because I think there's still an affection there.
Yeah.
And it's... And, you know, it's both of them together. It's not, like, one of their faults.
Yeah.
They both, you know, consented to this. So, therefore, there's not going to be a big argument. I think the only time there would be a big argument if one of them assumes they're back together on the basis of this night together. Then there'd be a big conflict, but there's not.
So have you got any final thoughts on the film, Harry?
No, I'd really recommend it. I haven't seen a sort of French language film for a long time. I think the last thing I saw was In the House, which had Kristin Scott Thomas in it,
mm-hmm.
which is a very different film. And that was a number of years ago. So, yeah, definitely check it out if you haven't seen a French language film.
In a long time. Yeah, definitely. I think sometimes you can be a bit like, oh, I've got a foreign language film. But really worth the watch. Such a human film. And, you know, once you get into reading the subtitles, you're in it. And it's great. So you can watch this film as of today. It's out this week in Curzon cinemas across the country. It is also on Curzon Home Cinema if you are not near a Curzon. And you can watch it there. I want to say a big thank you to CSR for having us in their studio this week. And we'll catch you next week. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
See you soon. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.